All right, we're going to go back there to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 1 tonight. Last week we talked about verse 2, about being rash with your mouth. All right, let's read it. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil." Boy, that's a verse, ain't it? I'm telling you. There's some things to think about there. Well, when you go to the house of God, it's different than going to the store, to a ball game, to some other kind of worldly affair. It's different. It's a special thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a special privilege. But above all of that, it's a holy thing. You know, when you are in the presence of God, you're on holy ground. Y'all have read about Moses where God said, "Take the shoes off of your feet." Yes. You're standing on holy ground. Right. You know, there's a lot of significance to that. That culture back then, they put a lot more on the feet than we do. Joshua was told to take his shoes off in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 15. Moses in Exodus 3 and verse 5. But Joshua was told for the same reason. You're standing on holy ground. Don't stand there with your shoes on. You know, there's just some things that ought to be in us. And you may call them old fashioned, but you're dead wrong. It's a matter of holiness and godliness and reverence for God. Just the knowledge and understanding of God. The less reverence and respect and honor you show for God, the more obvious it is how little you know about Him. There's not a one of us, no matter how close we may be to God, that if we were really in the presence of God, we would be struck. We would do just what every man that you ever read about in the Bible who was found in the presence of God fell on his face. And the words that God always had to say was, "Fear not, don't be afraid," because they were afraid just to be in the presence of God. But most people nowadays, they just traipse in the house of God with their hat on, with old trashy clothes on, just like we talked about this morning, you know, on the mission field. It's irreverent of the fact that they're going to meet God. What do we come to church for? Is this just a social meeting? Well, that's not what it's supposed to be. We do meet together, and it is social, but that's not the purpose of it. That's not why we're here. Right. This is the meeting place, not where we meet together, but where we hope to meet with God. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. God's got to be welcome. He's got to feel welcome. He has to be invited. He doesn't just come marching in to your heart, to your church building, just because you're gathered together. There has to be a reason for Him to come. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst of them." Well, there's some other conditions about that. Just two or three people meeting together, that ain't church in the first place. That's not the definition of a church. There I said ain't again. That's not what a church is. That does not constitute a church, just people meeting together. A New Testament church is more than that. But that's another subject. It's a sign of reverence to God that taking their shoes off when they were standing on holy ground. I suppose it's like when we take our hat off in the church. Are you conscious of that? I am. You know, when I come here by myself and come in that door, if I'm wearing a cap, I take it off. I feel wrong. Walking all around in here with my cap on. It's disrespectful. It's irreverent. It's being unmindful of God and what this place is and what it's about. You cheapen it. You defile it. You make it common instead of holy. I've told you all the story before about the old black man in the wagon with those little boys fighting in the back, and they got to the edge of the church property. Brother Melby told us this story. When he was a kid, he watched this happen while he was in a cornfield, and and on an old country road, and this black man came along, had these little boys in the back. He said, there's a screaming and a hollering and a fighting and a rolling over and over in the back of the wagon. He said, when he got to the church property line, he stopped the wagon. He took his hat off, and he told them boys to sit still and be quiet. And they drove across the church property. And when they got to the other side, he stopped the wagon again and put his hat back on. And the kids went back to what they were doing. But it's church. It's God's house. The old man had some respect and reverence. It's not silly. It's not foolish. It's not vain or worthless. It's mighty important to God. Keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God. I suppose it's like the hat deal. The idea that is that the house of God should be reverenced because it is the place where we meet with God. Now, this building is not holy, but the fact of what we're doing here is. It most certainly is. If we had a tent out in the parking lot over there, and that's where we're meeting to worship God, same applies to that tent as it does to this building. It's where it's a sanctified place. We don't play cards in there, and we don't play games, and we don't treat it like it's any other old place. It's for a one purpose only. It's the meeting house, the place where God's people meet together. And the Bible's telling us here you better watch yourself when you go in the house of God. Pay attention. Be mindful of what the deal is. The idea is that we should never think to come into the presence of God lightly and carelessly. There are certain places and that are significant. You know, and the Bible bears that out real plainly. Jacob, what was his place? What was the place where he met with God? Bethel. He met there with God one time, and from then on, that place was a special place. And in the years to come, years later, when he had to have God, he wanted to go to Bethel. And he told his boys, he said, get rid of your gods and change your clothes and sanctify yourselves. We're going to Bethel. We're going to the house of God. It's not a light thing. You're not going to meet the old man upstairs. You're not going to meet some cool dude named Jesus. You're not going there to get you a little Jesus. You're going to meet with God, hoping that God will be pleased to meet with you. It ain't going to happen when you treat it irreverently. It's not. Well, what is our business at the house of God? Well, the answer given here, what did he say? Let's read it again. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. What's our business when we come to the house of God? To hear. So if you come and you don't hear, you won't listen. You got your mind on everything else. You're fiddling with something else. You're thinking of something else. Your mind's elsewhere. How do you think that's any better than treating the house of God irreverently in some other way? You're ignoring what God's saying here just as much as anything else. Some people wouldn't wear their hat in church, but they'll sit there and never listen to a word. What is our business when we come to the house of God? To hear. Hear what? The gossip? Hear what everybody else is saying? No, we come to hear God. We come to hear from God. That's what we're doing here. You ought to be thankful if you go to a church where you do hear from God once in a while, at least. Because I'm telling you, they're a rare oasis in this world right now. Always has been, but it's worse now. I mean, there is a famine in the land. Famine in this world. Famine of what?
Hearing.
Hearing from the Word of God. God meets with His people to speak to Him. Why does He meet with His people? What's the purpose of a meeting place? What's the purpose of the gathering of the saints together? So they can look at each other, pat each other on the back. Is it like a support group like Alcoholics Anonymous or Fat People's Anonymous? Is it something like that? Where we all just get together and hold hands and hug one another and say, feel sorry for one another because we're all such sorry sinners. That's about what it's turned into. But that ain't what it's about. We don't come to hear from one another, really. We come to hear from God. That's the best deal. It's good to get a word of encouragement. It's good to see the brethren and good to fellowship together. That's all part of it. But if we never hear from God, all that doesn't mean a thing. You can go down to the tavern and join up with them and have as much fellowship that way. And that's what a lot of people do. They come to church and everybody's hateful and mean and fighting with one another, and they'd rather be down at the beer joint. If you're going to fight, you might as well do it down there. It's in the church house. So, well, if they're not willing to listen, now you come to church to hear, right? You come to church to hear. God comes to church to speak. But if you're not hearing, He ain't speaking. Do you talk to somebody who won't listen to you? If you're trying to talk to somebody and they go like this, turn their back to you. If they just ignore you and walk away from you, you going to waste your breath talking to them? Trying to help them? No, you won't. Neither will God. We come to church to hear. God comes to church to speak to us. But if we don't hear, He ain't speaking. Everybody wonders why the church is so cold and why you can skate down the aisles and all of that. Well, right there is the reason. It ain't because we've lost our enthusiasm. We don't have enough activities. We don't have enough going on at church to keep everything alive. That ain't how you keep a church alive. You keep a church alive by preaching the Word of God and hearing. That's the only thing to keep any life in the church. When people quit listening, the life goes out because God quit speaking. So, if they're not willing to listen, God's not going to speak. And another thought is that while you're distracted with your cares and your carnal attempts at worship, you'll miss what God has to say to you. You're trying so hard to have church. These people, nowadays, they're having church. Well, what does that mean? Are they really worshiping God? No, most of the time, no. No, that's not how. Now, that's just not how it's done. You don't have church. You meet together to hear from God. And if you really meet together with that purpose, God will speak if you're listening. But when you're so carried away with the cares of life and your worries and all of that, or your mind just so overcharged, or if you're just trying so hard to work up something at church, you don't hear from God. Y'all getting that? You know, if you try so hard to keep the service lively and you try to pump it up and you try to get somebody to shout and run the aisles, you play the music real loud and fast and get everybody's emotions worked up or tell some story that just breaks everybody's heart and make them cry. If you do all that, God ain't going to speak. Amen. Now, everybody may cry and go home saying, man, that was a good story. But somebody told it wasn't God. Said they'll be turned in the last days. They'll be turned away. They'll turn away their ears from hearing the truth and be turned unto fables. That's stories. They like them stories. Them heart-wrenching, emotional stories that just really carry you along. It's just like watching a movie. You just get so involved in it, time just flies because this story you're hearing is just so filled with drama and emotion and that's what's going on. I listened to one the other night. Good story. It was interesting. It told your attention. But when you back away and look at the whole thing, it's a story. It's a whole lot different than preaching of the Word of God. God speaks when the Word of God is preached. God don't come down to us like when we're sitting here like a house full of monks being silent and speak. That's not how it happens. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. God speaks through His Word, through preaching. That's how he does it. And if you ain't listening, you ain't going to hear from God. So, our business at the house of God is not to make sacrifices and religious shows. When people come to church and give the sacrifice of fools, they do evil. That's what the verse says. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. You know, most people have this idea in their head that God is just happy to have any kind of sacrifice, any kind of word from anybody. If everybody just give God a thumbs up, that'd just make his day if you just do that. Anything. He'll take anything. But he won't. He seeks such to worship him, that worship in spirit and in truth. Most of the worship that men attempt to do is evil in the sight of God. Now you need to think about that. That's what it says right there. What are you supposed to do? Hear. To obey is better than sacrifice. And any sacrifice that you make when you won't hear is abomination in the sight of God. It is evil, he says. It's the sacrifice of fools. To try to give God something when you will not listen to him. When you will not obey him. When you do not hear from him. Because you won't listen to him. He that turneth his ear away from hearing my word, he said, I'll not hear his prayer. Now God said that. You won't listen to him, he won't listen to you. Say, God ain't like that. The Bible says he's like that exactly, specifically like that. It says that specifically, that God said that. You won't listen to me? I won't listen to you. Our business at the house of God is not to make religious shows. That's not what we're here for. That's why that I've learned to resist it so hard. I want it to be real. I ain't got a thing in the world. I don't have a thing in the world against people praising the Lord. It don't bother me for somebody to shout if it's real. But now if they're trying to put on a show and get attention, it bothers me. And there's just something in your spirit that tells you that. Even if you're not very mature in the Lord. I've been around for a long time, and I've been in meetings where it went on a lot. And it bothered me then. It didn't bother me that people would shout because the preacher said something good and they agreed with it, or because they were just thankful and happy. And God was visiting it. It didn't bother me for people to get a little noisy. Don't. I like it. I think heaven's going to be a noisy place. I think the worship in heaven's going to be pretty noisy. But it's going to be real. The real deal. It ain't going to be some woman screaming like a mountain lion. Just over and over and over. That's the kind of stuff that bothers me. No praise the Lord. No glory to God. No thank you, Lord. No I love you, Lord. No praise God. Nothing like that. Just rah, rah. I think the devil got in somewhere is what I think. I do. I really do. It's the sacrifice of fools to try to put on a religious show. It is a foolish preacher who gets up and tries to work everybody into this emotional frenzy, yes, where they'll jump the pews and run the aisles and all of that. And then when that happens, that's the climax of everything. And oh, God visited with us tonight. God visited because that happened. No, I've been where God visited and that ain't what happened. Been where God visited a few times and everybody got dead silent. And there were tears and a holy awe over the place. And God was speaking to hearts. I've been there and experienced that. And I like that. But I don't like this this sacrifice of fools and this religious show. They're not considering that they do evil. The Bible says they're doing evil. It makes me want to back out of it real quick because I don't want to be a part of doing evil. They wreak destruction and trouble on the work of God and the people of God. And I don't, man, I could go into an explanation here and tell you. I remember going to meetings years ago, 30, 35 years ago, when I saw all kinds of shenanigans going on. And I remember the kids that were there at the meeting then. And if I could tell you what's happened to all of these kids. I could tell you about the kids, and you know too, who went to camps well known all over the country, big camp meetings. And when the people get to running and shouting, they just get in line and run and shout with them just because it's funny and fun to do. Mocking, really. Mocking. Sacrifice of fools. And you couldn't tell them that for nothing. They don't consider that at all. The people who did all that think that they were doing a great thing for God. But it wreaks destruction on the lives for on and on. I mean, they make a mockery out of it. They blind those who might be seeking God. Somebody come to church and seeking God. Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 about him speaking in tongues and all that. He said, if somebody that's lost comes in and y'all acting like that, well, will they not say that you're mad? You're crazy. This bunch of people's crazy. And they'll leave. But he said, if they come in and somebody prophesies, preaches, said, will they not say that God is in you of a truth? And they'll be one. Well, where's all the wisdom in those words? Where's it been lost on this generation? It doesn't matter what kind of denomination you belong to, they're all doing the same thing, acting like fools in the church houses. They ain't watching their foot when they come to the house of God. They're dancing in the house of God. Yeah. Mercy me. I was trying to think of something I heard the other day. Somebody was telling me, what was it? You guys? Was it you telling me? Somebody was telling me just the other day about some terrible thing going on in the house of God. Anyways, they blind those who might be seeking God, offering the sacrifice of fools. Besides being evil, what they're doing is completely worthless. God won't accept it. It doesn't help them. It doesn't help God. It doesn't help the other people. God won't accept it. He rejects it. So it's all a vain thing. And it's worthless, but it does great damage. God wants us to listen more than he desires sacrifice and offering. We just quoted that verse a while ago. Samuel told Saul that. Now we can see plainly that religious worship has become the sacrifice of fools. Let me read some more to you in Ezekiel chapter 33. It's there. If you still got your Bible open, you want to flip over there. Read about 3 or 4 verses there. He said, Ezekiel 33, verse 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth afar. Or their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. All right, God's pronouncing judgment on these people. And he's telling the prophet just how it is. He said, they talk good. I mean, they're good Baptist folks. Boy, they just have that talk. They love everybody, and they love you, and they just think you're the wonderful, great preacher. They like to hear you sing, and like to hear you play that guitar, and your family and everything, and they speak well, but they ain't doing one thing, you say. They hear what you say, but they ain't doing one thing. And they're going to be sorry, he says, because it's going to come to pass. And then they're going to remember, and they're going to realize there was a prophet among them. There was somebody who warned them. I've heard people, I've sat in church with people when the preacher preached on a certain thing. And then I've heard those people later say, he ain't never said a word about that. Well, I was there. I heard it. And I know they were there when he said it. What happened there? They were not hearing. That's what these people were doing, see? And so God's warning him. He's saying they're going to realize one of these days they were warned. They just wouldn't listen. They was too caught up in their own self. Just being there is considered a sacrifice. Now that's a sacrifice of fools. Y'all hear? Listen to me. Sacrifice of fools is when they think that just because I'm there, God ought to be grateful and them people ought to be thankful that I'm there. I mean, it's, you know how much trouble it is for me to come to church? Mm-hmm. Sacrifice of fools. That's sacrifice of fools. How much do you think you've really given? I mean, if we pulled ourselves up alongside of, we could just go through history and start pulling out examples of people who really have given, sacrificed. Many of them, their life, their families' lives, over and over. How would you measure up with your sacrifice? You feel like you're really, really sold out. I mean, I do come to church sometimes. Do you feel that way? Giving money. Well, forget the tithe. That's the Lord's. Giving money. A lot of people think that giving the tithe is a great sacrifice for them. That ain't a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. The Lord's Day, honoring the Lord's Day, is not a sacrifice. It's a privilege. God didn't make the, you know, man for the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath for the man. Remember, we preached on that a week or two ago. Being involved in the activities of the church is considered service to God and sacrifice. You know, that's what a lot of churches do. They spend their time praising and patting on the back everybody that does anything for the church. Why? You know, a lot of people at churches nowadays, if they do something, if they give some little old something, or if they carry out the trash and nobody recognizes them and thanks them for it, they're done with it. I did all that, put myself out, and nobody even cares. That's it for me. Sacrifice. Do you feel like when you give, when you show up, when you participate, when you support the work of God, that you're really like you're owed something? Like you've given be it far above and beyond the call? Is that how you feel? Well, it's a sacrifice of fools. I'm a debtor both to the Jew and the Greek. I mean, I'm a debtor to all men. We owe. You are too. I mean, who was the preacher who said if I had 1,000 lives to give, he'd never repay what he's done for me? Do you feel like that you're really paying God back? Or that you're about to get even in your debt to him? No. Ain't never no way. No way. If you had 1,000 lives to live, you could never repay his goodness and kindness and mercy towards you. So it is really no sacrifice when we give a little bit, when we do a little bit, or if we give a lot. Phony religion is the reason our world's in the condition it is in today. You may think it's Congress's fault. You may think it's Trump's fault. You may think it's Clinton's fault or Obama's fault. It ain't none of their faults. The fault is laid right at the door of the churches of this country who went apostate and compromised and backed up and not kept their word and their promise to God. And they've not been faithful to God and the truth. That's who's going to pay. That's who's going to answer. Judgment must begin at the house of God. You need to let that sink in just a little bit. This country is ready for judgment. Where God needs to judge this country. You know where it starts? In the house of God. Right here. It don't start in Washington, D.C. We're all sitting back waiting on a bomb to fall on them. Jonah. It ain't going to happen that way. Judgment begins at the house of God. It's going to get rough there first. We've talked before about Ezekiel chapter 9 where God passed judgment on that country, and that's where they began. And who did they begin with at the house of God? With the ancient men. They're the ones who let the ball drop. Kill them first. Now that's the Bible. It's what God said. Judgment on the wicked land. He didn't tell the destroying angel to go kill the baby killers first. The sodomites first. Get rid of them first. All these evil people. Not them. No, first place to start is at the house of God. Because that's where this trouble started. If them people who are called by my name, if they would have stayed where they were supposed to be, if they'd have stayed with the truth and they'd have kept living holy lives and being a good example and living godly, wouldn't be in this shape. That's right. How did they, why'd they stop? Because they started coming to church and just quit listening.
Yeah.
And they changed their taste in what they like to hear. Well, things have changed quite a bit, ain't they?
Yeah.
I remember when I was a little kid, and this church used to be right over there across the street, and I remember coming up here and being a little kid and hearing a preacher preach, and I, man, he preached on hell, and you was going there, and I remember being scared to death.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Ain't no kind of preaching like that now, is it? When's the last time you heard preaching that scared you to death? Well, what do people do now if a preacher preaches you're going to bust hell wide open? They laugh. In the churches, yeah. Or they say, you ain't got no right to say that. You don't know who's going to hell and who ain't. Right? That's exactly how it is. Yep. They won't have it. They want to hear about love, and they want to hear about fellowship, and they want to hear about let's worship, and let's worship hard, and let's get that music going. Yes, sir. Now we got them pizzas ready. Let's have some food around here. That's what church is about now. It ain't about altars and weeping and repentance and sin and heaven. It's not about none of that. People don't even preach about heaven anymore. Heaven or hell. It's all about right now. Loving one another and having a good time together. It's not what the politicians have done, it's what the churches have done and not done that's got us in this mess. Worst kind of religion is the kind where people love to hear preaching but refuse to obey it, just like Ezekiel heard from God there. You are like, to them, you're like one that sings a real lovely song. They just love to hear you preaching. I've heard so many people, man, I've heard people that I know are wicked talk about how much they love that preacher that come. Boy, he really preached. You ought to have been there. Huh? I'm telling you what. Just exactly what God was telling Ezekiel here. These people, that's what they were doing. You're like one that sings a very lovely song and plays real well on a musical instrument. They like to hear you. They enjoy it. I've told you often, but you know, Brother Owen taught me years ago, he said this, and I never forgot it, but he said, I know what a preacher is by the kind of people in my church who like him and hate him. Boy, that is exactly right. If you were of the world would love his own, and that's exactly how it is. You got people in your church that are worldly, and they won't do nothing. I mean, they're just worldly people. They love the world. but they come to church and they like to hear preaching, but they like certain kinds of preaching. Yeah. And some kinds of preaching they don't like at all. Worldly people don't like spiritual preaching. Man, they get their feathers all ruffled and they ain't interested and they get mad about it. And they don't like it. Spiritual people like spiritual preaching. I mean, they want to be told the truth. The Spirit of God in them rejoices in the truth. Their heart rejoices in the truth. And they like to hear it. But the worst kind of religion is where they agree and identify themselves with the Word of God but refuse to conform their lives and their hearts to it. Everybody claims to be a Bible believer. Joel Osteen always tells at the beginning and at the end of every sermon, he leads people in this prayer, and then he tells them to go join a Bible-believing church. Everybody's a Bible believer now, but they got 100 different kinds of Bibles. They don't even have the same Bible. And what they got ain't the Bible. What they have is not the Bible. I'm trying. But it's, they don't believe the Bible. I can take them to one verse and blow them completely out of the water and prove you do not believe it because you will not obey it. And not just one, there's a bunch of them. If you believed it, you'd obey it. If somebody read it to you out of the Word of God, thus saith the Lord, and this is what he says. Now, what are you going to do? Yes or no? No. Well, I just don't believe it means that. So you're not a Bible believer. You're a self-believer. You just believe what you want to believe. You make it up as you go. If it fits you, you believe it. If it don't fit you, you reject it. Your religion is like shoes in a shoe store. You try them on. If they hurt your feet, you take them off and throw them away. Get you another pair. That won't fly. But this is why we're not seeing. You know, it's a dead religion that has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. And that's why we're not seeing moves of God in people's hearts like we used to. Because we've got dead religion. Why is it dead? People ain't listening. You'd be amazed at how little is heard in the average church service. We say, well, it's the preacher's fault because he ain't saying nothing. Well, that's not true. I know a lot of times he doesn't say much. But let me tell you something. If you got a heart that's hungry and listening for God, if God can use a donkey to talk to a prophet, he can use an empty-minded preacher to say something that'll help you. If you're in a church looking for it, God will feed you. I believe that. The ravens fed Elijah. Not God's people, not some other preacher, not angels. The ravens fed him. That's just another truth that I learned from the preacher over there. He said if God's people won't supply the need, God will send a raven. He will. If you're listening, God will speak to you. But you got to be listening. Yep. It's a religion that can just be an add-on instead of a ruling influence in your life. You were talking about that fellow down there you talked to the other day. Yesterday, I guess. Talking about how he lost all the years and did all kinds of religious things. Always religious, but finally come to understand that he had to surrender to God. And that's when everything changed. See, religion is just an add-on thing that you can use to embellish your life a little bit. Salvation and a real walk with God is not like that at all. It's when you totally surrender to God and Jesus becomes your Lord and Savior. The King of your life. The kingdom of God is within you then. He rules there. So this kind of religion that's just an add-on, you know, and that's what these people have when they say, when they talk about their faith. Well, my faith got me through it. I don't want to hear that junk. That's a bunch of junk. That's right. If God got you through it, won't you just say the Lord? Yeah. got me through it. Why do you want to say my faith got me through it? Taking all the credit for yourself, see? Those people are trusting in their faith. They're not trusting in Christ. And you must trust in Christ, not your faith. It's just simple. You either believe or you don't believe. You either trust Him or you don't trust Him. You've either gave it all to Him or you haven't given anything to Him. And there's where the rubber meets the road, if you will. It's a religion that allows everybody to do what is right in their own eyes. You understand what I'm talking about? This religion that just, the sacrifice of fools. We can rejoice in the fact that this is the end of the cycle that we're living in here. Therefore, we have hope of seeing a new beginning. It's one of the good things about living at the end of one of these cycles. The beginning just around the corner. The darkest hour just before dawn. You were singing on the way to church, yeah. Well, that's how it is. Just look at it this way. We're closer to the new day, the new beginning. That's the way this thing is. It's the way this world's always worked. Evil ascends until it gets control of everything. And it goes to a certain point, and then God just flushes it. And we start over. And we're just about to that point. Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That's about where we're at. There's God's people are scattered everywhere. I'm amazed where you find them nowadays. You better not be looking at the sign on the church house. You better not be looking at, who people are associated with religiously and all of that. I'm telling you, you better look at people and where they're at with God. Are they listening to God? Do they have reverence for the house of God? Is their religion just religion? Or do they really know the Lord? Big difference. God does judge. And put an end to the things when they reach a certain point. Verse 33 there in Ezekiel, we read, he said, and when this cometh to pass, because he was talking about what he's fixing to do to them. And he said, when this comes to pass, and it will come, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. When God does judge, then the truth of God becomes very evident and obvious to everyone. I would have loved to have talked to some of those Israelites that got carried off down to Babylon. After they got carried off down to Babylon, I'd ask them, I'd say, did you ever hear about a man named Jeremiah? Yes. You remember anything he said? Yeah, I remember. Were you one of those that stuck your fingers in your ears and turned your back and said, we'll not listen to any of his words? Yeah, afraid I was. Did it come to pass what he said? Every word came to pass just like he said. Ezekiel was a prophet of the captivity. Jeremiah was a prophet before the captivity and during the captivity. He stuck around. I got to hear some more of him. Reckon he ever said? Told you. Tried to tell you. They'll know. They'll know there's been a prophet among you. That's what he told Ezekiel here too. And it came to pass. And it was just like God said. So I would like to talk to some of those people after they were humbled. Go up to Jerusalem where there's nothing but a pile of ashes and charcoal and everything knocked clear to the ground. And the people that are left are just the lowest of the people. Nobody can do anything. Everybody knew how to do anything, could do anything, got either carried away or killed. Ain't nobody left there but just starving poor people. Sure is different than it was. And God told them it was fixing to happen. But they wouldn't listen. And they wouldn't obey. Then what they've been hearing from men of God makes them realize that God does speak to men and that God is real. You know, it's a shame, isn't it, that it has to come to that point? It works that way in individual lives. I've seen people broken and weeping because the mess they've made of their life. And they were warned and taught better and counseled and everybody in the world tried to help them and keep them from the wreck. But they wouldn't listen. And they wrecked. And now they're sitting there, I should have listened. Why didn't I listen? What a fool I've been. I was warned. It's that way in the individual lives, and it's that way collectively with us too. We're gonna see this also because we're at the door. We're at the door of big changes in this world. Not just our country, but this world. This is a worldwide thing. This as it was in the days of Noah. This is not our country is the only place in the world and it's in trouble. Everybody is. And so it is as it was in the days of Noah. And we're fixing to see some big changes. We're at the door of the judgment of God. Everybody mocks now. God's not real. They don't believe in such a thing. They believe everybody that believes in God is a fool. Uneducated fool. They're weak-minded people that need a crutch. Let them go. Let them believe in their fairy tales. Read the comments on some of these news articles. You see what kind of people are out there. What the general feeling of everybody is about God. They don't think He even exists, let alone fear Him that He's going to do something about all of this. But they are in for a big surprise. There is a God in heaven. And He is aware of all of this. And He is in full control. And if He created the universe, He ain't going to have any trouble stopping puny little men who are shaking their fist in His face and think they're going to control the universe and wrest it out of His hand. Mercy. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Now that's what He's going to laugh about. We're going to see it. When it happens, even the most careless among us will realize that God has been speaking to us all along. See, we meet together at the house of God so God can speak to us. Most people don't listen. So they don't really believe God speaks because they didn't hear it. But He is speaking. He is speaking. And you do well to listen. Listen for His voice. And He'll speak to you. And He'll help you in the troubles of life, in everything, in the future that's coming up on us here. And we need it. We just need it. Amen. Well, stand with me. Watch thy foot. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. All right. Amen. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Pray it be a help to us tonight. Some of the things we've said here would remind us again to watch ourselves and to be careful where we go. Watch our foot. Be careful where our feet take us. And Lord, I pray You'd help us to be mindful of You, to really know You, to really stand in awe and reverence of You, to fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Help us, Lord, in the evil day we're living, to have wisdom to teach these children and to watch our own selves, our own heart and mind, that we keep ourselves from all of this pollution and evil around us. Lord, help us to be ready and not ashamed before You at Your coming, which could be any time now. Please help us through the week as we leave here tonight. I pray You'd watch over everyone tonight as we go home. Give everybody a safe trip. Pray You'd work in hearts all through the week. Pray, Lord, that anybody among us that's troubled in their heart, that is not at peace with You, that can't go to bed tonight and rest in sweet peace knowing there's nothing between their soul and the Savior, I pray You'd deal with them. I pray, Lord, that they'd be listening right now and that they wouldn't sleep tonight until they lay down at the foot of the cross and give it all to Thee and put their faith and their trust forever in Thee, and give You the reins of their life, and stop trying to do it on their own and figure some other way. Please help us, Lord, that we wouldn't have anybody here that would fall into the trap of having religion and not really being born again. Lord, thank you for meeting with us like you do, speaking to hearts and helping. And we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.